This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Wednesday to you. Coming up this hour on the show, we've got a champ and a chump in 20 minutes. Also, we've got Stunned to a News also coming up this hour. And we are debuting a new segment this morning on the show called Get Your Popcorn Ready. We here on the DA show realize without games, we still need sports to break down. We need something to break down. We are just wired this way. We can't not break down sports. And so if there's no games on, fine. We'll make games, as in sports movies. We are taking sports movies and breaking them down as if they were the games. Coming up this morning on the show, we begin with blue chips. We figured, well, it's college basketball season. Kind of. Should have been. And blue chips might be the best college basketball movie, so we're breaking it down. Blue chips was the 1994 film. Nick Nolte, head coach of the Western University Dolphins, recruiting Anthony Hardaway, a.k.a. Butch McRae, Shaq, a.k.a. Neon Bordeaux, and Ricky Rowe as his big three, if you will, well before LeBron went to Miami. And Blue Chips is an iconic college basketball film with a lot of cameos. Rick Pitino is in it. Bobby Knight is in it. Bobby Hurley is in it. Jim Boeheim, Tark the Shark. It's got a lot of cool cameos. So we'll do that coming up in about 40 minutes from now. We break down Blue Chips. Get your popcorn ready. But we begin this hour with 6 degrees of Tom Brady. I penned a piece for CBSSportsRadio.com and CBS Sports about this. You know, when guys retire or are close to retiring and their last team before they retire is kind of a money grab, there's not really a lot of ramifications. You know, when Emmett Smith goes to the Cardinals, there's not a series of ripple effects to it. He leaves the Cowboys. He goes to the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't very good. When, say, Jerry Rice leaves the Raiders and goes and becomes a Seahawk, there's not many ripple effects beyond Rice is at the end of his career. But when it comes to Tom Brady, who may or may not have a couple of years of football left and is considered by many to be the greatest quarterback of all time and one of the greatest athletes of all time, there is absolutely a series of aftershocks and after effects that affect a lot of different people around the NFL. And so I thought this is interesting about the Brady move. The Brady move isn't just about Tom Brady. It ends up being about a lot of other people. So here's my 6 degrees of Tom Brady. Number one, the Buccaneers. Obviously, he joins the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers almost overnight go from, boring team, non-playoff team. Actually, boring might not be the right word because they were 7-9 last year and weren't competing for a playoff spot, but they were exciting because they threw the football a bazillion times. I mean, that offense under Bruce Arians threw, and threw some more. They also offensively could run the football, so the Buccaneers put up points. They passed a lot. They threw a lot of interceptions, but they were actually fairly interesting to watch from a football standpoint. But now they have Super Bowl dreams. You've got guys on that team believing they can actually compete for a Super Bowl. I don't. I think that defense is still too much of a problem, and I don't think that Brady is that great to elevate the team that much. But I do think accountability, professionalism, attention to detail, that does change with Brady. We had MJ Stewart here on the show, a young cornerback for the Buccaneers. And MJ last week was saying he's going to come in and change the culture. And that's exactly what we need. So you have the Bucs going from afterthought to suddenly we've got life to at least believe in winning the division in the playoffs, even though the Saints are in that division. But we've got life in terms of belief. That's the first degree. The second degree is the guy that Brady replaces, Jameis Winston. This is an interesting after effect to me about Tom Brady joining the Buccaneers. There's no way Brady throws 30 INTs. There's no way, like Jameis did. Jameis ends up being the first 30-30 quarterback in NFL history, throwing for 30 touchdowns and 30 picks in the same season. Brady will be far more careful with the football. But also, there's no way that Tom Brady reaches the passing totals that Jameis did. I mean, Jameis had 5,100 yards last year. He was the only 5,000-yard passer in the NFL. That includes Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, go on and on. Not another player threw for 5,000 yards. So how about that Brady is going to replace a guy that led the league in passing? Now, the Buccaneers would hypothetically win more, but Brady won't come close to 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns through the air. If Brady has an underwhelming season, let's just say Brady has an underwhelming season, he looks 43 years old, and the Buccaneers don't improve. Does that actually end up giving credibility to Jameis Winston? Could we see a point in time a year from now where we look back and go, well, the Buccaneers were 7-9. Jameis threw for 5,000 yards and 33 touchdowns. You know, he wasn't that bad. He was actually pretty good. Because I think right now the idea is, well, anybody in that system will succeed. The third degree of Tom Brady is the team that he leaves, the Patriots. Okay, so now what happens to the Patriots quarterback situation? Right now, Belichick is riding with Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, and Cody Kessler. I mean, look, if Belichick goes into this season with those three guys on the depth chart, it is the ultimate, screw you, I can win with anybody. I mean, really, because is Stidham a fourth-round quarterback who everybody in Foxborough says they're high on, but you never know. And I don't say this with a personal vendetta against the media of Boston, but those that report on the Patriots, you never know if they are reporting the truth or they're reporting what the Patriots leaks want you to believe. The Patriots are brilliant at planting the nuggets they want out there. They are brilliant at completing their own narrative for public consumption. They are brilliant at telling you very consistently from multiple sources, this is what we really like, this is who we really like, this is what we're thinking. But they do it so consistently, there's nobody that speaks out of tune to where you don't know if that's actually what they believe or not, or that's just what they want you to believe so that you report it. They can say all they want about Jarrett Stidham. Do we really believe that they love a fourth-round quarterback's potential, enough that he is going to replace Tom Brady? I mean, it would be bold and Patriots-esque, but, I mean, is it true? So that's next. Will there be another guy? And if Belichick wins, obviously, with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer, it is the last laugh on this relationship. If Belichick can find a way to win 10 games with a fourth-round draft pick in a second year in Jared Stidham, or Brian Hoyer, a bounce-around guy's entire career, if he wins 10-6, 11-5, or 17 games, so if they play all 17 games this year, 11-6, what do we think about Belichick and his influence over the winning? The fourth degree of Tom Brady going to Tampa is the last guy that was considered the greatest of all time, Joe Montana. When Tom Brady came back against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, down 28-3, to give him his fifth ring all time in the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, many said, well, that's the day that he passed Joe Montana. And since he added another ring, and so some have declared, well, at that point in time, Brady surpassed the threshold for greatest of all time. But I want to remind people this. Joe Montana went to the Kansas City Chiefs in his final two seasons and went to the playoffs both years. Montana joined the Chiefs, and he didn't have weapons like Godwin and Evans and O.J. Howard. He didn't have one of the best offenses in football. He had a very good defense, the Derek Thomas, Neil Smith defense of the 90s under Marty Schottenheimer. He had a good running game with Marcus Allen, good offensive line, but he didn't have great weapons, and that Chiefs team went to the playoffs twice in Montana's final two seasons. In his first season with the Chiefs, they went all the way to the AFC Championship game. You might remember, lost in Buffalo. And he also went to the wild card round in 94 and lost to Marino in the wild card round in 94, but made the playoffs, and in that game threw for 317 and two touchdowns. That's his final game ever. Montana, 317, two touchdowns, and a wild card loss to Marino. You know, do you think that Tom Brady ends up with two playoffs here in Tampa and an NFC Championship appearance? I got a hard time believing it, maybe, but it would at least be one more feather in the cap of the argument that, hey, Joe Montana is not chopped liver here. Brady might have more rings, but Montana, you could argue, did more with less. Not I'm saying talent, because he had Jerry Rice for two of those rings, but that Montana did it all, four championships in basically 11 years, and then two playoff seasons and an AFC Championship game in his final two seasons in a different team. Brady has had 20 seasons to do this, and now maybe 22 in Tampa. The fifth degree of separation of Tom Brady is the pressure on the guys that teams banked on instead of Brady. We thought that Brady wanted to go to the Niners. The Niners said, thanks, but we're good with Jimmy G. We think that Brady might have wanted to go to the Titans, relationship with Mike Vrabel. The Titans said, no thanks, we've got Ryan Tannehill. Let's see if Jimmy G and Ryan Tannehill look good this season. Will Brady look better than those guys? Look, I believe that both those teams made the right decision, because you don't have more than maybe a season to me with Tom Brady that you could really believe great things in. And you have to be pretty damn close to winning a championship and not have a better solution long term to me to bring in Brady. The Buccaneers really didn't. The Niners just went to a Super Bowl. The Titans were in the AFC Championship game with guys much younger than Tom Brady. I think they made the right decision, but if Garoppolo is bad this year and the Niners look like they want to cut bait, or Ryan Tannehill crashes back down to earth and looks like Tannehill from his Miami days, the egg might be on the face of the Niners and the Titans and those two quarterbacks. And the sixth degree of Tom Brady and the after effects of him going to Tampa Bay is the final memories of Brady. You know, the way things ended for so many guys that went one last money grab somewhere else were ugly. We remember Emmitt Smith clumsily falling down in Arizona. Jerry Rice as a Seahawk never looked good. Joe Namath on the Rams, broken down and battered. Johnny Unitas on the Chargers, Franco Harris on the Seahawks. Will we remember Tom Brady fondly, like Peyton Manning winning a championship on his way out the door, even though he was no longer Peyton Manning? Or will we remember Tom Brady like I mentioned those other guys, throwing ugly passes in a weird uniform for a losing team and just flat out looking old? That is one of the effects of this. And so Brady's decision to leave New England and go to Tampa Bay isn't just about Tom Brady. It's about so many other things, which makes it fascinating. I wrote this piece for CBS Sports. You can check it out by going to cbssportsradio.com, The 6 Degrees of Tom Brady. Also, you can check out my archive of my columns if you're looking to kill time these days because you're in the house dealing with the same day that seems like the same day over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why not read some of my columns at cbssportsradio.com? When we come back here on the show, we've got a champ and we've got a chump. Plus, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Now, I don't know if she can really smile at this age, but she seems like generally through her eyes.
Oh, no.
She...
Oh, no. How could you go there?
No.
She... How could you do that? This woman's 100 years old. I mean, she can't smile anymore.
She's holding up a shirt.
How could the poor woman's 100? I assume she's happy.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We know you want to see college hoops this time of year, so tune into CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind and relive some of the best moments from March Madness. The DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to podcast form of The DA Show every single day. Indeed, if you miss anything, want to hear it again, want to binge on all 4 hours of the show every single day, you can do so whenever you want. And so, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, or other places podcasts are available. Just search The DA Show for the full 4 hours or the best of the show every single day. It is time for a champ and a chump.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
I want to list off as my champ a number of athletes that have donated $100,000 or more. And this isn't a complete list, but this is a significant chunk of change from these athletes trying to do what they can to help fight coronavirus. Jeremy Lin donating $150,000 to UNICEF to help fight the coronavirus. Rudy Gobert, of course, he tested positive. He's going to donate $500,000 to various causes, $200,000 to game day employees for the Jazz, $100,000 each for the families impacted by the virus in Utah and Oklahoma City, and 100,000 euros to his native France. Also, $100,000 coming from Karl Anthony Towns, who heartbreakingly sounds like his mother is in intensive care and on a ventilator because of the COVID-19 virus. $100,000 as well from other players around sports, which is a big chunk of change. Blake Griffin will donate $100,000 to the workers inside Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. George Springer of the Astros, $100,000 to Minute Maid Park employees. Also, Kevin Love, $100,000 to workers for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Jason Hayward, $200,000 to coronavirus relief between two organizations, the Greater Chicago Food Depository and MASC, an organization that's collecting supplies and food for families impacted by the virus. This is not a complete list. There's a lot of other players doing great things, but I wanted to list some of these players by name all of those guys giving at least $100,000 of their money to help fight this, and that is significant at this point in time. Congratulations to those guys. You guys are our champs of the week.
That's DA's champ.
Your chumps of the week are the owners that have to have their hands and arms twisted to help support these workers and for the people that they've had to lay off or earn shift money because there's no games or don't earn that shift money. What happened in Boston with Jeremy Jacobs was pathetic, where all the other NHL owners saying, okay, we're going to put into a fund, we're going to support our workers, and Jacobs of the Bruins ignoring that edict for what felt like an eternity until he was forced publicly and shamed into it. Same thing with the Sixers owners, the Devils owners. They're the same brand, the same corporation. It shouldn't take public shaming to do what's right in this instance. What we all should do right now is take this really seriously. And I still think there's a lot of people that don't. Maybe they're in states that this hasn't been as affected as places on the coasts. But just because you don't see the boom that New York City has seen, that the West Coast has seen, Seattle and San Francisco, doesn't mean it won't eventually get to your neck of the woods. And so taking this seriously is really paramount. And I can't say that I always did that either, but I'm seeing it firsthand here in the New York City area. To have this many cases in New York City and to have it spreading like wildfire and to have this crush on the medical system and to see what is happening with needing masks and hospital beds, they're setting up convention centers as de facto hospitals. Believe me, it's terrifying. It's scary. And it will happen throughout this country over the course of the next few weeks and months. It's just inevitable because people don't even know where it's been yet. And it hides because you can't see the symptoms for a long time. So to see these players doing this is great. To hear owners that aren't doing their part is devastating. But it's really important to take this seriously. It's really important to be really protective of your sanitary health and your hand washing and your coughing and avoiding people. It is mandatory for us to get to normal. It's mandatory. We cannot take this not seriously. And to see spring breakers or people hanging out in bars or just not taking it all that seriously, believe me, eventually you will have to, because it is going to have its tentacles in every state in a big way as this spring unfolds. So please take this as seriously as possible, as quickly as possible. It's the only way that we get through this in a timely manner. The owners that are not doing their part, they are your chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Andrew Bogus standing by with your headlines this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning again. So the NFL continues to chug along as best as possible in this current situation. The draft setup is changing, but the actual picking still scheduled for April 23rd through 25th. For now, the league apparently saying thanks, but no thanks, to a recommendation from the General Managers Council to postpone the draft. GMs say they can't finish their usual prep work since players can't take physicals or meet in person. Plus, some teams have been pushed out of their buildings by local guidelines, while others work almost like usual. That's why the league is mandating all teams work from home starting at 6 p.m. local time today. On the field, we now know that
to play starting quarterback in the NFL, to be at that spot, is not an easy job to do. And I think when it comes down to it, a strong, stable, supportive quarterback room makes that job a whole lot easier. And that's what we have to do. And I'm going to do my best to support Derek in every possible way that I can.
Marcus Mariota quick on the trigger. His contract in Vegas is set to pay him as a starter if he somehow overtakes Derek Carr. But as you just heard, he's being very respectful of the current starting QB in Vegas. Mariota speaking to KHON-TV in his native Hawaii. That Raider contract guarantees him $7.5 million for this season and could be worth as much as $37 million over 2 years based on incentives. Releasing Cam Newton yesterday only leaves $2 million in dead money on the Panthers' salary cap. Cam had a $21.1 million cap hit, partly why Carolina couldn't find a trade partner. Meanwhile, former Jets receiver Robbie Anderson is the latest to reconnect with Matt Rhule. He was also Anderson's coach at Temple, and Anderson's QB then was P.J. Walker, whom the Panthers signed on Monday. In Washington, former Bucs running back Peyton Barber gets a new contract, while the agent for left tackle Trent Williams reissues their desire to be traded or released. Williams held out all of last season. Yesterday's statement pointed out Williams has handled all of this like a gentleman, whereas other players have ripped their teams and then had their wish granted via that trade or release. T-Wolves center Karl-Anthony Towns revealing last night his mom in a medically induced coma on a ventilator as she battles what's believed to be coronavirus. Towns shared on social media so people can better understand how serious this all is. Sixers center Joel Embiid, as DA just mentioned, donating $500,000 to relief efforts. Among the latest to declare for the NBA draft, Michigan State forward Xavier Tillman and Alabama guard Kira Lewis. Illinois guard Alan Griffin is transferring, and Dayton forward Obi Toppin, his head coach, Anthony Grant, winning AP yearly honors yesterday. And yes, Mets righty Noah Syndergaard will have Tommy John surgery tomorrow in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Recovery will also affect the start of next season for him. And now, another way to be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Stunned!
DA, let us continue our crusade to leave toilet paper on store shelves for everyone.
Okay.
A Northern California town is asking its residents to stop using torn t-shirts as TP. They have apparently burned
through. Okay, now this is interesting because we did talk about this last week when the hoarding was at its peak, or 2 weeks ago, that, hey, there are other ways to take care of business. You don't have to go crazy hoarding toilet paper, but now you're telling me that this town is saying, no, don't do that.
Well, I guess if you're going to use torn t-shirts to clean yourself, then throw them in the garbage. Do not flush them, because this Northern California town is now dealing with backed up sewer pipes because people have flushed their soiled t-shirt fragments.
T-shirt? What are we doing here?
And the last thing we need in all of this is overflowing toilets. I don't need anything coming back up into my house at this point because some idiot down the block is flushing t-shirts that he'd used to wipe his bottom.
Who could think that would flush? Who could think that?
Well, the same people who hoarded toilet paper and then burned through it in 4 days.
Well, I would hope that the people flushing t-shirts are the ones that didn't hoard the toilet paper. I would hope they're these are two different camps here. Who the heck could think that you could cut up a t-shirt and we don't throw fabric into the toilet at any other point in time. That won't work. It cannot dissolve. It won't eat away. It'll get stuck in your pipes, you idiots.
Yeah, you can't flush anything except toilet paper. Not even those little sanitary wipes that people use in lieu of toilet paper. You're not even supposed to flush those bad boys. So certainly not t-shirts, people.
You know, female sanitary products have been flushed for a long time, I think, by a lot of people. So that's one thing outside of TP that can be flushed, or at least usually is flushed. But did you know you could go to a lot of other countries where you're not supposed to even flush the TP? You use it and then you throw it into a garbage that is next to the toilet, and that garbage is emptied at the end of the day. Yes, it sounds disgusting, but if you travel internationally, that is an option in some countries because they don't have the plumbing infrastructure to break down the paper. You know, you've got to have chemicals that break down the paper once it goes to a plant. So some of these countries don't have those types of chemicals and plants to do so. It's just a bunch of water gets flushed out somewhere. So it's already a really nice thing to be able to throw your TP in the toilet and not have it stink next to your toilet. You can't throw t-shirts in there, you idiots.
No t-shirts, no paper towel. Just wipe it and throw it out if you have to, or just go very... It's almost like people are going to the bathroom more these days, DA, because they want to use the toilet paper that they now have a boatload of.
You know but what I no think? What, I think, honestly, the coronavirus has led us to realize a lot of people had no idea what they were doing about anything on a daily basis. Like, had never thought about anything. And then suddenly was, oh my God, my life isn't that easy anymore. What do I do? My head's going to explode. I mean, if you actually thought you could flush T-shirts and that it wasn't going to stop up your pipes, your plumbing, or the sewer system in your town, you truly have not given any thought to anything that happens outside of just the immediate act of going to the bathroom.
We're all idiots. Different levels of idiocy, but we're all idiots. And we are putting it all on display in recent days. No doubt about that.
I mean, the people, you know, now people are just, they force grocery stores into being like, hey, you can only buy like two of the monster rolls of TP, or you can only buy two of these huge things of paper towels, or you can only buy two of these massive chicken, you know, combinations and cutlets.
Right.
Because this wouldn't have happened if we didn't have people that thought that they were stocking up for Armageddon and had to buy everything in the grocery store. The supply chain is going to be fine. There's going to be food for everybody unless you act like an idiot. If you act like an idiot and you shop unlike you ever have done before, then it becomes a problem. But only you can create the problem. Only you can create forest fires.
Oh, thank you. That's a good pull by you. That made me smile. That was a good thought. Now, I don't like forest fires, but those commercials are part of our childhood. That's a warm memory.
McGruff, Smokey the Bear.
Friends. Yeah, Smokey the Bear, McGruff, Take a Bite of Crime. The More You Know, that Shooting Star PSA on NBC during Saved by the Bell Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Good thoughts.
Us kids of the 80s needed really easy puppets and messages to get the point across. But it worked. Say no to drugs.
Though, except, however, D.A., we're now adults making a lot of terrible decisions. So maybe McGruff in the end wasn't good enough to make us learn important lessons.
Crime dog to prevent us from flushing our T-shirts down the toilet. All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we return, we debut a brand new segment here called Get Your Popcorn Ready. The D.A. Show goes to the movies. We're breaking down sports movies as if they were the games. Next up, Blue Chips. It's right ahead, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
New fan of the show. I commute to work pretty early over here, and I'm loving everything. I'm loving you, loving Bogus. Love slash hate Mraz there. It's a great thing. I do the watchda.com.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Indeed, you can watch us at watchda.com every single morning and watch the best of clips on YouTube every single day. Just go to YouTube and search CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work, get a quote. Geico.com, that's easy. Earlier in the morning, in response to Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, rapping from her couch, Hip Hop Array by Naughty by Nature, Bilotti wanted to clear the name of the Hanks family because he is such a protector of the Tom Hanks flame. And he also did his own hip-hop array version. Seems like you guys really enjoyed this. We were cracking up. Jeremy tweets, sign Pete the Body up for a spot in the 12 DAs of Christmas. That was way better than I expected. Same here. Anthony tweets, yeah, but did Pete even have the beat to flow over? It didn't seem so. Rita was playing the song and was flowing over it. Pete was not. I think that's next up for us. I think we need to hear Pete do another 90s hip-hop song and give him the actual beat as well. John of the NYC tweets a gif that simply says, whose man's is this?
Hey, ho, hey, ho.
I think we have stumbled upon a new segment here on the DA Show. Pete sings the classics. But before we do that, it is time to unveil our next segment here on the show. There's no sports going on, but that doesn't mean we can stop breaking things down. We here on the DA Show, Wired, it's in our DNA to break down sports. And without sports, what do we break down? Without games, what do we break down? Well, I'll tell you. We break down sports movies. We watched Blue Chips as a show this week. And we've got thoughts on the 1994 film starring Nick Nolte as the head coach of college basketball program, the Western Dolphins. And he recruits Anthony Hardaway, Shaq, and a guy by the name of Ricky Rowe to come play for Western as he's getting pressure from the alumni and the media to finally win again. Let's debut today's brand new segment called Get Your Popcorn Ready.
Roll tape.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
So what I do is I start tackling the quarterback unless he get the ball to somebody else, in which case I try to tackle that person.
Say hey. Willie Mays Hayes here. Play like Mays, and I run like Hayes. How you doing?
The greatest sports movies with the greatest sports minds. Kinda.
Either we heal now as a team,
or we will die as individuals.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn ready with the DA Show.
All right, Mraz, so let's start things off this morning on the show. Let's begin with the pressure that's on Nick Nolte as head coach of Western. The guy's got two national championships, okay? Should he already be under pressure to get out of there after just three losing seasons? I mean, the guy has two rings. Are expectations at Western irrationally high?
Very irrationally high, and I was a little confused in that as well. So he's on the cusp of having his first actual losing record, but three losing seasons. So what did they even mean by that? Did that mean they just finished at 500 the two previous seasons? But when a guy's got two rings, multiple conference championships, and it's been well noted, it's getting harder and harder to recruit people to play out on the West Coast. I don't know how much more Petey Bell is supposed to do at Western.
I think Pete Bell is getting, to me, short end of the stick from the alumni and the media, because he doesn't play nice. I think this is a classic case of he's gruff, he's short with the media, you know, Al Bundy's asking him questions and he's not having it. Ed O'Neill is trying to pry and he's not having it. To me, if he's a more media-friendly and booster-friendly coach, they'd look the other way. I mean, the guy's got two national championships. Can you fire a guy with two rings?
Yeah, and they weren't that long ago either, the last one being, I believe, in 1987. So he's only 7 years removed from his last national championship. Cut the guy a break. And you're so concerned. Your football team is top 10 every year. Your baseball team's in the College World Series. Can we cut him a break on the basketball court? That school is thriving.
To me, I think it was unrealistic expectations at Western. Now, one of the other things that happens here is that with the pressure to finally win, he has to go out and start recruiting hard. And he goes out and gets Butch McRae, who's Anthony Hardaway in Chicago. He ends up and he grabs Ricky Rowe out of French Lick. He gets a tip on Neon, Shaq's character in Louisiana. Here's my question. Oh. How is Shaq not more highly recruited? I mean, Coach Bell is going to the middle of nowhere. He's on like a pontoon boat. He's in like a jail cell or underground cage watching Neon play. How do the scouting services miss a 7-foot, 300-pounder? That's my question here.
One of the biggest plot holes of the whole movie. And when Petey Bell goes and he travels on pontoon boat to go to Louisiana to scout Neon, it's told to him that when Neon played with NBA players, he dominated them as well. Now, hold on here. If he's already done that and people are aware that he's played NBA players, how is he still hidden? And how do we get to the point after Neon is finally recruited where Dickie Vitale is sitting there on opening night as Indiana comes into the forum there and tells us that their recruiting class is highlighted by Neon Bordeaux? Highlighted? You shouldn't even know anything about him.
That's
if
right.
You're telling me that nobody knew about him. the Butch McRae and Ricky Rowe, those were the big recruits at that time. So on opening night, before he's played a game of college basketball, Neon is the guy that has highlighted that recruiting class. That makes absolutely no sense. Dickie V was as lost then as he is now. It was a mess.
Here's also my bigger point here. What ends up happening is that Coach Bell gets into some major hot water because he has now paid all of these recruits to come. He gave Ricky Rowe's dad the tractor. He gives also Butch McRae's mom a new house with the lawn. She wants the lawn. That's cool. Nice new office space. I don't know what job she has, but she has a leather chair in her own office. It's very nice. But Neon does not want the Lexus. He does not want the Lexus. Was it a mistake, ultimately, to recruit all these guys and pay them when they could have really just sent the recruiting class around Neon, probably done it for clean, and not dealt with the ramifications? Because I think just with Neon, you don't need the McRae and the Rowe. I think you can just win with just Neon as your center point of that recruiting class.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's very clear that Ricky Rowe is a third afterthought even in the game plan. The game plan is
kind of like a Kevin Love. Yeah.
Right. So if you have any decent point guard, like Tony could be dishing it inside the Neon. Neon is going to be the guy. You didn't need to pay him. He wanted to be there. And you build a program, and he's going to be the superstar of college basketball at the time. Completely lost maneuver by Pete Bell. The moment he was on that pontoon boat and he saw Neon and he knows he can get his SAT scores up, that should have been it. It should have been, forget it. I don't need to go down this road. I'm going to win with what I got. How does he get so lost as a head coach there and do that? It made absolutely no sense to me, and I think that's where Petey Bell dug his own grave. And not to, you know, jump too far ahead here, but, you know, one more. What fair is, you know, it's not fair to Neon down the road, you know, when Petey Bell basically screws him over, throws the whole program under a bus. What did Neon do to deserve that?
Because Neon didn't end up taking any of the money, didn't take the car.
Right.
And still,
right.
he's gonna end up being in a program, put on probation. Now, Petey Bell ends up under a lot of fire, under a lot of pressure. It's starting to get to him. The booster's starting to get to him. Happy the Booster is basically just putting his fingers, his tentacles all inside that program. And Petey Bell just ends up imploding in a press conference to end the movie and starts admitting to everything that they would have done. Here's my first question about the press conference. Did the Western SID play that wrong? I mean, the Sports Information Department, to me, has to step in there and say, Petey Bell, we're not doing this. We're not admitting everything on this podium today right here. And he just implodes. Is it part and parcel that the SID doesn't do his job there, stepping in and saying, we're not doing this right here publicly?
Yeah, I agree. But I think at the same time, the SID is scared of Pete Bell. And at the same time, I think he was caught off guard because Pete Bell had not even finished his opening statement. He hadn't opened that up for questions yet before Al Bundy saying he has to ask that. Number one, Al, who tells you that you get first crack at the questions? Number two, the questions hadn't begun yet. They hadn't even soaked in their biggest win in years. And you have to interrupt his opening statement to ask that question? That was so ridiculous. And if I was the SID, I'd probably have been caught off guard as well.
I also wondered in the wake of this, Pete Bell feeling the pressure, snapping, admitting to all the wrongdoings. Did Coach Pete Bell have the wrong temperament? I don't know if he was like this. We don't know if he was like this early in his career. But if he is snapping at Al Bundy, if he's admitting to all of the cheating, you know, was he too tightly wound by the end? In other words, even if they didn't cheat
yes.
to get all those guys, is the program sunk already?
I believe so. I don't think he had the right mindset, and it does make you think whether him as a coach could have got them to the Final Four anyway. And also, he's stuck in his old ways, D.A. I mean, let's face it, before he explodes at the end there and admits to all the cheating, he's at least willing to do so for a taste of the Final Four. He's willing to go the extra mile of cheating, but at the same time, he's not willing to make McRae happy and run the 1-4 like he wanted to do before he was threatening to drop out. He's saying that it's got to be my way. Well, clearly his whole mindset was all over the place. If it's your way, why are you cheating to begin with? And once you commit to cheating, why aren't you letting your players be happy and running the offense the way they want to run it? And I think that creates the tightly wound situation you're talking about where it just wasn't the right time for this. And you know what? If you're the Boosters and you're happy, maybe that's not the right coach. Maybe force the coach out more than have him cheat if he's not ready to cheat and ruin and blow the whole thing up.
By the way, terrible job by Butch McRae, who wants to quit the team and have his mom keep the job and the house. That's not how this works. I mean, you want to quit the team immediately, and you think that she can still keep all the stuff that you cheated by taking? That's not how this works.
What a joke. I was so sick of him by the end. Absolutely tired of him. The best part about Butch McRae was his grandmother being able to run some plays in the living room. But yeah, you got to man up at that point. And you're going to be fine playing in the NBA after that? You don't want to leave from Chicago to LA to make sure your family was taken care of. Butch McRae, frankly, was a complete disgrace. Complete disgrace. And also, I was just going to, one more thing. Ricky Rowe. I mean, we want to pump up how much the guy loves girls, and there's so many girls on campus. Can we get a little spicy here? Can we see Ricky Rowe kind of hanging out with the cheerleaders? I was looking for a little spice yesterday afternoon. I got none of that. Why even tease me as a viewer that Ricky Rowe loves the girls?
There's one shot of a thigh with a skirt in the middle of the lecture class that Ricky Rowe is eyeing. That's about it that you get in terms of his womanizing on campus. Well, we'll do this again in hour number four, breaking down blue chips from a game perspective. When we come back, Kevin Durant, the Olympics, and a dodge of a bullet.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.